The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey, everybody, here we go. Welcome to the Speak Up Table. My name is Barbara, and as always, we have a good program coming to you for your consideration. Today, four of the five candidates for the Pendere Hospital District Board are here with us. In the studio are challengers Julie Barrett and Jesse Peters, and incumbent Tom Lawrence. And joining us on the phone is challenger Dolores Doty Glass. The fifth candidate is incumbent Helen Parsons. She's traveling, and so she has provided me with some information, which I will be reading on her behalf, so she can also be a part of this program. So everybody, please sit back, get comfortable, and stay with us. We will be back with information that you can use.
At Superrun Foods in Sandpoint, they say save time, shop online. It's so easy and convenient. Just go to superrunfoods.net and select your items. You can also view the weekly sale items, online specials, and more. Then set the time to pick up your groceries. Park in the spaces reserved for online shoppers, and your personal shopper will deliver your items to your car. It's that simple. And Superrun is now hiring. Great jobs starting at $12 an hour, with some positions starting at $14 an hour. Apply online at superrunfoods.net.
When life throws you a curveball, your P1FCU debit account can help keep you moving. P1FCU Perks, powered by Bizing, offers great features like money-saving discounts, cell phone protection, roadside assistance, and cash back. This card saves you money. Does your debit card do that? P1FCU, a Pacific Northwest original since 1938. Only available with P1FCU Preferred debit accounts. Insured by NCUA.
Selkirk Press would like to give a warm welcome to all their new customers from Mountain Sky and say thank you to all of their existing customers and local support. Selkirk Press is proud to be your local print solution for all your needs. Brochures, forms, envelopes, letterhead, and business cards. They also do bulk mailing and EDDM mail prep. Your one-stop shop for all your printing and mailing needs. Selkirk Press on Industrial Drive by the Sandpoint Airport.
You already know that Sweet Lou's is the place to dine and watch sports. It's also a great place to work, and both Sweet Lou's locations are now hiring for the summer season ahead. There's openings for cooks, prep cooks, servers, and bussers. Health and dental benefits are available. Apply online today at sweetlouisidaho.com. Located on Front Avenue in Coeur d'Alene and Highway 95 in Pendere. Now's the time to secure your summer employment. Apply online for either location by going to sweetlouisidaho.com.
I'm Tiffany. I have some tips for you on how to quit smoking like I did. First, I did some reading about it. I found a lot of great advice on how to quit smoking and picked out the ways I thought would work best for me. I started by setting a quit date. Then I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches. I did other things too, like exercising more. And it worked. But I'd still get cravings, especially on long car rides. To help me with that, I put a picture of my mother in my car. She died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes when I was only 16. Now I have a 16-year-old daughter. That picture of my mother reminds me that I don't want to miss all the things my daughter is going to do in her life, including turning 17.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
All right, we are back and the candidates are ready to go. I want to alert you that we've got two candidates here in the studio, Julie Barrett and Jesse Peters, and Dolores Doty Glass is on the phone, and we are waiting for Tom Lawrence to arrive, and as soon as he's here, we'll bring him on into the studio with you. But let's get started. As always, I like to start with introductions, and I like the candidates to introduce themselves to the audience. So, Dolores, are you hearing me loud and clear?
Yes, I am.
All right, I'm going to start with you. If you would introduce yourself to the audience, please.
Hi. I'm a Dover resident. The ballot has me down as Dolores Doty Glass. Everyone knows me as Doty. I've been a resident here of Bonner for the last 3 years, but 23-year history in nursing with my master's in nursing and bachelor's in science nursing.
All right. Thank you for that. And Jesse Peters, go to you. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me. My name is Jesse Peters. I am a resident of Kokalala. I've been in Bonner County for the last 4 years. I am a wife, a mom of three little boys, avid pickleball player. I'm also love the outdoors, love being by the water, love having a little farm. We have lots of pets and animals and children. It's a very fun life.
All right. Very good. And Julie Barrett.
Thank you for having me, Barbara. I am a lifelong resident of North Idaho. I was born in Coeur d'Alene, raised in Post Falls. I've lived in three of the five northern counties. I've been a Bonner County resident for 30 years, and I am excited to call this place home right here. It's nice to be back. part of one of my jobs was as a disc jockey here at Blue Sky Broadcasting. I've actually worked as a full-time disc jockey and independent contractor since 1992 here. So it's exciting to be back. I am a mother of two, a grandma of three, and strategic marketing and branding creative professional for 30 years is kind of the hat I wear. So it's
all
good
right.
to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here. And now, as I've said before, incumbent Helen Parsons is traveling. And she sent me a bio, and I will read it for her. This is Helen Parsons. She is a third-generation Sandpoint native. She's married to a Sandpoint local, Darren Parsons. They have been married for 32 years. They have two daughters, Haley and Stefan Harlicker, and Emily and her husband, Dakota Jackson. And they also live in Sandpoint. Helen Parsons worked for Sandpoint Women's Health for over 28 years, and she retired in March 2019. Along with her siblings, she is and currently is the primary caregiver for their aging mom. She currently serves as a volunteer at North Summit Church, helping in an after-school program. She has also served as part of the worship ministry for over 20 years. In addition, she sits on the Bonner General Health Foundation Advisory Council. And so that is the bio for Helen Parsons. All right. I want to get into the issues, but I want the candidates to frame their own issues. So beginning with Jesse, if you would give us some of the issues that you're interested in for why you're running and what you intend to do, and we can come back to these issues.
Sure.
If you'll kick it off for us.
Yeah, so as I've been deciding to run for this office, I've been it's been a search for information for me. I have a heart for rural health care. I've been in rural health care my entire career as a nurse practitioner, which is over a decade. And the rural health care environment here in this county is one that is very dear to my heart. And so because of that, I've been, you know, researching what the hospital district board does and what their mission is and how the funds flow. And it's been difficult for me to really get a lot of information. And so the biggest platform I would say that I'm running on would be really that there's just a well-articulated and well-communicated plan as to what is happening with our dollars as taxpayers and how that how those tax dollars directly impact the health and well-being of our county.
All right, very good. And Julie Barrett, what are some of the issues or the main issue for you?
Transparency is a problem. I absolutely agree with Jesse in that there isn't a lot of information. The minutes don't really say a whole lot. The contract between the hospital district and the Bonner General Health for its three clinics doesn't really say a whole lot, except in one space, and that could be a huge part of the transparency issue in that five of the seven hospital district board trustees also sit on the Bonner General Health corporate board of directors. It's one hand feeding the other hand is kind of what's happening. And that actually is within the contract. It makes an allowance for that under Article 4 governance. And it basically states, hey, you know, as a means of controlling district property, Bonner General Health doesn't have to, but they should allow hospital district trustees to also serve on their board as a means to control that property that Bonner General Health's three clinics may be using. That seems pretty flimsy to me. I do believe that there's a better way to track district property than allowing for a conflict of interest. It also kind of puts a bubble of secrecy over the top of it. At least that's my opinion. So,
all right, very good. And we will come back to these issues for you to comment on. I'm just looking for what is at the top of your list. And Dodi, I am to you. Dodi Glass.
Hi. Yes, I have to agree with both Jesse and Julie on the transparency. When I first was approached about the hospital district, I had no idea that there was a hospital district. And so I had to start doing my research, and I found the same things looking at minutes, participating in one of the meetings, and I found it very vague. And they even had the auditor. They had their annual audit, and he was responding by telephone, and the call got dropped. He couldn't answer certain questions, and that didn't fit when you're doing your annual audit. So the transparency issues for me as a healthcare provider and understanding, and it's also my tax dollar too with everyone else's, how is it being best utilized? And again, the conflict of so many board members being on both, it gets very, very gray on trying to figure out whose best interest is at heart. So for me, it is to bring more transparency and more participation and breakdown at these meetings and in the minutes, put in there so everyone can see where those dollars are going to be sure that the community is protected. In their healthcare needs. So that's the transparency is a big issue that I have discovered in my research trying to find out about the hospital district.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that. It's interesting to me. I did not give my questions to Helen Parsons, but they're pretty intuitive, as many of my candidate interviews are. So this is, she brought up the issue of issues and challenges, and this is her wording. She says, I believe the board's current operations of supporting outpatient clinics is vital. The behavioral science, Sandpoint Women's Health, and ear, nose, and throat clinics are all necessary, and those are all Bonner General Health clinics. I would love to see us expand support to the growing need of behavioral health in our community. So let me come back to you, Jesse. The issue is is it true that all of the money that comes through this taxing district is given over to these clinics at Bonner General Health?
That is my understanding, yes.
Okay. Is that everyone's understanding? Okay.
Yes.
They're
yes.
Nodding their heads yes. Are you nodding your head yes,
yes.
Dodi? All right. Thank you. Well, I just want to clarify something, and I am going to say this myself as moderator, because this is something that I learned and I had to clarify, that the Bonner General Health is a private hospital with another separate board of trustees. Our candidates today are running for the Pondere Hospital District Board, which is a taxing district, and it represents a taxing district in our area, and this board allocates our tax dollars out to who they decide. They are the stewards of our tax dollars, And currently all of this money is going to Bonner General Health, which may be exactly the best thing. But I think it is informative to know that all of it is going to Bonner General Health Clinics. All right, I want to go back to an issue that Julie brought up and have Jesse and Dodie comment, and that is this crossover of members on both the Bonner General Health Private Hospital Board and the Pondere Hospital Taxing District Board. Five of the seven on that taxing district board also sit on Bonner General Health. Is that a problem for you? What do you think about that? Do you think that needs to be taken care of or what?
This is Jesse. I would say that there is definitely a potential for a conflict of interest. Without being in the inner workings of the way decisions are being made, it is hard, I think, to weigh in fully as to if, you know, there's if things should be handled differently. For me, the biggest red flag is that there can be a tendency to just do things the way that it's always been done without necessarily taking into consideration the needs and the healthcare assessment, really, of our county. So for me, that's the bigger issue. You know, there is a possibility, I think, for a conflict of interest. But for me, the bigger issue would be, you know, when has a health assessment been done for the county as to what, you know, what are these three clinics really the highest need represented? When was that assessment done? Who did the assessment? Who's, you know, what information and data is informing the decision to drive all of these funds to these specific clinics? And, you know, that's just a little bit of a mystery. And so possibly that the funds are being pushed in the right direction. It's just hard to say.
All right. And can you give me the amount of the funds that we're talking about on an annual basis?
My understanding, again, this is Jesse, my understanding is that it's around $1.4 million.
Okay. And that would be an annual amount. And ladies and gentlemen, if you look on your property tax bill, it will say P.O. Hospital. And I have to tell you, for years, I just thought that was Bonner General Health taking some money. But it's different. It's a taxing district, and the money goes to them. All right. So, Dodie, I want to get you in on the issue of the overlap of board members. What do you think about that?
I also agree that the potential is always there. And like you just said, you didn't realize that where that money was going towards, and, you know, it was their tax dollar. So that is all very new to many people, including me. I knew nothing about it. And when you have a small district, one small community hospital, you know, it's hard to get people to get on different boards, especially if you're not familiar with this district, the trustee board. So you often find the same people running for both departments. And sometimes I truly believe you can lose sight of what the best need is because you see the same direction every time. So I think we definitely need more clarity in that and a break away from so many people being on both boards so that the best interest of the community is at hand, because you're getting different, you know, objective responses and subjective to the questions. It's not all focused in one straight line. But again, maybe it is being used the right way. It's really, really hard to see because the numbers just aren't reflected in the minutes.
All right, very good. And I will say that a part of the bioinformation and answer that Helen Parsons provided for me, she told me I do not sit on the Bonner General Health Board. That's the other board we've been talking about. But she, Helen Parsons, does sit on yet another board, and that's the Bonner General Health Foundation Advisory Council. So yet again, here's another, you know, kind of advisory board, I guess it would be, where there is some crossover, at least with this one candidate, this one incumbent. Helen Parsons is an incumbent. All right, very good. We are up against a break right now. We're going to take that break, and we will have a lot more information coming your way. So sit, stay. We'll be right back.
When you've been in a car accident, one of the first things you'll do is make a call to your insurance company. I've recently been in a car accident, and I need to start a claim to get my vehicle repaired.
I'm sorry to hear that. Is everything okay?
Yes, thank you, but my car is totaled.
Well, we have a number of preferred shops in your area that can take care of that for you.
Oh, that's okay. I've already decided to take my vehicle to North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonners Ferry. They said they will handle all the paperwork and get my vehicle in and repaired as soon as possible.
Oh, well, I see here they're not one of our direct repair shops, and we can't guarantee the work that they do.
Well, actually, any guarantee on the vehicle will come directly from the shop that does the repairs. And North Idaho Collision Repair Center offers a written lifetime warranty on anything they do. They use original manufactured parts and will restore my vehicle to pre-accident condition. I'm taking my car to North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonners Ferry.
Hi, this is Shane from North Idaho Collision Repair Center reminding you it's always your choice where you get your vehicle repaired. So tell your insurance company I'm going to North Idaho Collision in Bonners Ferry.
Welcome back to the Raptors. I'm Roy, he's Stan, we're from Triple Play over in North Idaho.
Hey, I have some news. I got my new phone today.
Wouldn't that be breaking news?
Okay, funny guy. Not bad, Roy, not bad.
Seriously, how many phones have you broken at this point?
You know, 3 or 4 dozen or so.
How does one dinosaur break that many phones?
Accidentally kicking it into the wave pool, losing it in the dark on XD Dark Ride, watching it tumble into the water at mini golf, unintentionally crushing it while bowling.
I'd say I can't believe it, but I can. I totally can.
Do you have pockets? I don't either.
The Raptors are brought to you by Triple Play, where you can race go-karts, play laser tag, climb a ropes course, and splash around in Raptor Reef Indoor Water Park. Plus, it's all attached to a cozy hotel. Visit 3play.com.
I gotta show you this funny picture of my phone!
And score another for the wave pool.
ADHD. It's the child who can't pay attention or sit still in school, right? The answer, maybe yes. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be complicated and it can last a lifetime. Living with a condition can sometimes be a challenge. It may take years to accept a formal diagnosis, and it's not always easy to find the right treatment plan. Did you know that up to 75% of children and adolescents with ADHD have at least one additional mental health condition that also requires a comprehensive approach to treatment? ADHD guidelines were recently updated to reflect the need to screen for associated disorders. Be sure to talk with your child's doctor about proper screening and visit moretoadhd.com for additional information. That's moretoadhd.com. This message has been brought to you in partnership with ADA, ACO, and CHAD.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
All right, we are back with our two candidates in the studio, Julie Barrett and Jesse Peters. And our candidate on the phone is Dolores Doty Glass. These are all challengers. And incumbent Helen Parsons has sent an email with some thoughts that I am sharing. And unfortunately, Tom Lawrence was scheduled to be here in the studio, but unfortunately has not made it in yet. And he also is an incumbent on this taxing district board. Jesse, you brought up the issue of health assessment or health needs assessment for our district. And so if you can comment on that again, why you think that's important, and then Julie and Doty, I will ask you to comment on the same topic.
Sure. Thank you.
Jesse.
So my entire career as a nurse practitioner has been in rural, small community, nonprofit healthcare. Part of my role, I've helped oversee and run a $24 million nonprofit healthcare company. And as part of my role in that clinic has been not only pioneering clinics and working in the clinics myself, but also actually digging into the needs of the community. So going into clinics and asking, you know, what are your referral barriers? What are the patients needing that you're not seeing met within our own communities? What are the barriers to getting patients the care that they need? So I actually have experience with not only administering, but also taking the data from community health needs assessments and implementing strategies and plans as to getting those disparities kind of combated. So that's what I'm talking about when I say a needs assessment. There's, you know, multiple ways that you can get at that. You can do it yourself. You know, as a healthcare provider, like I said, I have experience doing that. But there's also many third parties that come in and actually do evaluations of kind of the landscape as to what healthcare providers are present, what specialists are present, and where those disparities are.
All right, very good. Julie Barrett, the same question to you. What are your thoughts on the need and the use for a health needs assessment for our taxing district, and how might that be accomplished, do you think?
Well, I believe that the citizens of Bonner County, the taxpayers of Bonner County, need to be driving that. I see the need to find out from local health care providers what needs aren't being met, to Jesse's point, but I also believe that those in healthcare tend to be a bit one-minded. Why are we not asking the taxpayers themselves what kinds of public healthcare do they consume? What do they want to see? What do they want their tax dollars being spent on? I've never received a survey from anybody. I think it would be nice to maybe send out a survey, hook up with the assessor's office and with the little postcard you get in the mail every year, telling you what your tax dollars are being spent on or why they're up or down or how much you owe for a particular year. Why not enclose a survey within that and say, hey, what kinds of health care would you consume? What kinds of health care do you want? And that makes it pretty simple to actually steward those dollars. We are trustees. We are being entrusted with a fiduciary responsibility for those tax dollars and to ensure that the health and well-being of every citizen of this county is being met.
All right. Thank you for that. Dolores Doty Glass joining us by phone, also a challenger for this board. What are your thoughts on the health health assessment for the needs in our taxing district?
I think that is very critical and crucial. I was fortunate enough to work as a hospice nurse for Bonner Dental Hospital. So it took me to the, you know, back roads of many people. And you're not only servicing, you know, the person that is on hospice, but you're servicing those family members, and different things arise during that crisis. And so you see what's available to them and what is not. And during this last year, due to COVID, Bonner General closed the wound care clinic, cardiac rehab, diabetic clinic. Those are clinics that are critical for continued health and well-being in the community and everyday lives. And people, you know, those staff members lost their jobs. And there were fortunately other agencies that were able to pick up some of those patients, but not all of them. So we need to see where that tax dollar is needed to help protect those people, to teach them how to care for those, the wounds, the cardiac rehab. There's ways that our tax dollar could benefit our community when we're in a small community and we're dependent on a small hospital. So we have to be able to provide in the clinic aspect or a different education mode for our area, and that, you know, I think it's really crucial to look at that and address that healthcare need, because right now we only see it, yes, we brought a check, it goes to this clinic, go to that clinic, but it's not broken down. So it's important that we get a good health assessment, because due to this last, you know, year of COVID, we've learned a lot, and there's a lot to be educated, and I think this is a great opportunity to reassess, look at what our truly our needs are in our area. As a retired person, I, you know, of course, concerned about the elderly population, but we have a lot of people out there that need, you know, the homeschool or whatever, and they need to have health care needs addressed in the community level that is easily accessible and not going to cost them an arm and a leg. So it's a really good idea to do a health assessment to review everything that this community needs, because there's so many rural aspects to it. You know, when the power went out, people on oxygen, how did they get their oxygen? You know, things like that that most people aren't even aware about. So it's important. I very much agree that we should have a health assessment.
All right, very good. That was Dodie Glass. And again, I've read this, but I'll read it again because I believe to this issue, incumbent Helen Parsons is agreeing with the current allocations. She says, I believe the board's current current operations of supporting outpatient clinics is vital. And the behavioral health, the Sandpoint Women's Health, and the ear, nose, and throat clinics all through Bonner General Health are, she believes, are necessary. And she comments to expand on the growing need for behavioral health. So I think that we've got time to get to that issue or at least get it opened up. If I'm understanding, I had a person ask about the need for more dollars to be allocated to mental health for psychiatrists, for actual mental health. And I think they were thinking very in particular of our younger people and suicides and that kind of thing. Is that behavioral health? I'm mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep, all of that is.
So, Julie, let me start with you then. What do you think about adding to this list, if possible, more behavioral health or more mental health support?
I think it would be wonderful in a perfect world, but right now the audit has shown that $1.9 million is how Bonner General Health's three clinics are operating in the red. $1.9 million in losses.
Even with the taxing district $1.4 million coming in?
Well, there's the disparity. It's about $1.5 million
okay.
dollars that the tax district brings in every year.
Okay.
But the losses are $1.9 million.
So.
And behavioral health, I believe, is right up there at $990,000+. So why is it losing money?
Okay.
Is it because people can't afford behavioral health? Is it because the costs are too much with a psychiatrist and whatnot? And I believe that was actually brought up in one of the most recent meetings where I was reading meeting minutes. There we go. So I don't know what the answer is there, but it all stems upon finding out what the needs are in the community. Is obviously behavioral health is important. Obviously, COVID-19 has really brought out that our young people are in need of that right now. So what's the best way to provide that and the most financially responsible way to provide that?
All right. I want to ask for a clarification from either Julie or, well, anyone. If I heard you correctly, in round numbers, the taxing district allocates about $1.4 maybe to $1.5 million per year. And the clinics over here at Bonner General Health that are getting funded are in the red for $1.9 million. Does that mean there are $1.9 million in the red even with this money, or the net red is $400,000? Do you know what I'm asking?
Net red would be $400,000-ish.
Okay, so the costs are $1.9. The taxing district is giving them $1.4, and so they're in. How COVID has worsened it, and we're in a rural environment, and that is also challenging for people very spread out and maybe not as much care. So if you would comment on how you see the taxing district, if it can expand the care available under the heading of behavioral health or mental health.
Right. It has grown exponentially due to COVID, and it's very tragic. In hospice, we always had a social worker go out to assess needs, but again, people don't want to express, so it's really difficult to assess that and find the best way to provide behavioral health, especially when you walk into a home, as I did, you saw what their needs were, and it was very clear to me, but it wasn't clear to them. So you're constantly working on that type of battle. We lost our home health department with Bonner General, and those people access the home. So we lost a big component of the in-home treatments that a lot of people use. So it needs to be looked at, because you can assess, and as healthcare providers, we are mandated by law to report certain things, and all that went away. So that's why the rise of suicide is just tremendous at this time. So, yes, I see a big need for it. Coming up with a plan to best access it will be a challenge, but it needs to be addressed.
All right. I do have one more quick question, and keeping it on this topic, and that is, I just heard Dodie say, you know, you're visiting, people are hesitant to express a need for this kind of help. And I would like the three of you, if you would quickly comment on how important it is to intervene early. I mean, to really get to that this is an issue and then intervene early before it is down the road. Jesse Peters, I'll go to you first.
I definitely wholeheartedly agree in early intervention. A lot of that starts with screening, identifying, you know, with just like you have a blood pressure screen, or just like you have a lipid check, that you're also getting screened for what are you facing in your life? You know, what social determinants are you facing in your life that may be causing your mental health to deteriorate? And so absolutely, early intervention is necessary. And it also helps formulate that plan that Dodie was talking about. So you need to have an idea as to what people are facing in order to develop a plan to intervene early.
What about going to Julie Barrett? What about in this early intervention thought, some of the tax district dollars going to those people that see this on the front lines, whether it's in the school or the law enforcement, where they see this pretty early on?
I certainly think that would be a better use. One of the things COVID has done, too, is it's highlighted the failures of the traditional healthcare model. I went to Bonner General Health's website, and I just wanted to look around and see what was on there. And so first thing I came to, of course, was, you know, COVID information. So I click on it. Click into COVID guidelines. You want to know, you know, if you're going to a hospital, you want to know if you can visit somebody, what are the masking requirements, can you visit at all, can you go in at all. The first point was avoid the emergency room or any healthcare facility unless it's essential. That was there this morning. Unless it's essential, I'm thinking that if you're going to a hospital or you're going to the doctor, it is essential. That does not help make you warm and fuzzy and want to tell people about your problems and your behavioral health needs. So I believe actually addressing that in schools and in other areas might be a better way to go.
All right. Dolores Dodie Glass on the phone. What are your thoughts on if the taxing district has a role through the allocation of funds in this concept of intervening early into mental health issues?
I totally agree with Julie. The schools are probably the easiest access to get early intervention. I teach CCD at my church, and you see things and you hear things. So there's a role you start playing when you start hearing things. A lot of that has gone away with the way, well, we've had so much isolation. And we have to get back to identifying those needs in the schools. Law enforcement, well, alcohol, drug abuse is majorly on the rise. So they see the end result, but it starts earlier, you know. So the schools, the churches, they need to start having a more active part. And if we can formulate some kind of assessment to figure out the best way to put our tax dollars to start looking at that, especially the needs of our children who have no voice, especially if their parents are compromised. So, yes, it's something we should really address. It is something that's not going away anytime soon.
All right, everybody, we are up against another break. We're going to take it right now. We have been joined by Tom Lawrence, and we're going to go long today. So stay right where you are, and we're going to have some extra time on the air to get all of our candidates commenting. We'll be right back after this. We are back, and we want to say hello and welcome to Tom Lawrence, who has joined us in the studio. We appreciate your having a busy day and coming in and being with us. I want to let our audience know that we're talking about the Pendre Health District Taxing District Board, not Bonner General Health or the hospital or the trustees at the hospital or the foundation. And so we have been trying to clarify all that, Tom, with our audience. So let me just kind of go back over some of this and give you an opportunity to comment. First of all, would you introduce yourself to our audience? Who are you, and why are you here and running?
I'm Tom Lawrence. I've been a family physician. I've been in Sandpoint since 1977. I've been on the hospital board for about 35 years, and I'm currently the chairman of the board, so I pretty well know what's been going on. I want to regroup and get back on the board again, and my election for 6 years is up, so that's why I'm running again. I think the current board, the Pendre Hospital District, has done a good job with the three clinics that we own and run, and we've been able to get through the COVID, which was a very difficult time, but we were able to get through it, and the clinics look like they now are getting back towards normal, both in the number of patients they see and their financial outcomes.
All right. Tom Lawrence, one of the conversations that we had had to do with 100% of the taxing district money going to clinics that are affiliated and a part of Bonner General Health. And it was not suggested there was anything wrong with that. It was just noted that was that. And you've been on the board for this taxing district board for 35 years.
Right.
Has all the money always gone 100% over to Bonner General Health?
The current situation is that we own the three clinics that we run, and that was an agreement reached with the Attorney General of Idaho about 2 years ago, and that's what we currently are doing. So the three clinics, we own them, we run them, and the money that comes from the taxing district goes to run those three clinics.
Who is we own them?
The Pendre Hospital District owns those three clinics.
Really? The district owns those clinics. And
they
so
do.
They essentially fund what they consider to be their clinics.
We have to pay the rent and the salaries and the equipment and other medications. We have to buy new equipment. Most of you don't know, but the ENT clinic just got started a couple years ago, and we got into that right away, and it had a lot of economic impact because it was new and we needed a lot of equipment. Then COVID hit, so the ENT clinic had a tough time getting going, but they now seem to be rising up and seeing more patients and are doing a better job. So that clinic is still on the rise. Sandpoint Women's Health is still doing well. Again, they had to close down for a while and slow down, and that affected us financially. But behavioral health has always been top of the line. It even got a little busier during the COVID epidemic, so they seem to be doing well. We still think we need to expand our behavioral health clinic.
Just for our audience, ENT is ear, nose, and throat clinic. Are other clinics or other service providers, is there like a request for proposal that goes out several months before the funding cycle, and other groups, other clinics, other services are invited to compete for the taxing district money?
No, the taxing district, the money was always earmarked for the way that it's spent, and you can look at that on the Pendre Hospital District minutes and see exactly how it's spent. But it's not in competition with other clinics, and this tax dollars is dedicated to be just for the district.
Okay. Another area that we discussed before you got here had to do with the overlap of some people being on the taxing district board and also sitting on the Bonner General Hospital Private Board of Directors, and I understand you are one of those people that sit on both boards, and no one is raising an issue that there's a problem, but just asking, I mean, how do you feel about that? Do you think that that creates a problem and the boards need to be separate but related? What do you think?
Well, since we're 13,102.
You had an S&P 500 that opened at 41.
Hey, everybody. You know what? I love live radio. It is so much fun. You just never know what's going to happen. So I'm glad that stick with us. You know, we automatically go to satellite there, so they had to kind of intercept that. All right. We are talking today with four of the five candidates. It is there are only two positions open, and there are five people that are competing. There are three challengers, Dodie Glass, Julie Barrett, and Jesse Peters. And there are two incumbents, Tom Lawrence and Helen Parsons, who sent me some information that I've been reading on her behalf. So when we were just talking, Tom, before, had to do with there are these two separate boards that a lot of people are just now learning about, the taxing district and then the Bonner General Health Boards. And that there are some people that sit on both, and you are one of them. Do you see any kind of an issue with that or any kind of a concern in that overlap?
The two boards spend the money totally separate, and it's an advantage, actually, to know what's going on in the hospital other than the Pondre Hospital District, because it's just limited to those three clinics. So I do a better job of knowing what to do with those three clinics because I'm aware of what's going on in the hospital in general, and the other 10 clinics that the hospital runs on their own. So I think it's an advantage, and this was brought to the attention of the Attorney General, and it's in our contract. After a lot of discussion with lawyers and some of our trustees, that it is okay to be on both these boards. There's no legal conflict since we don't we spend the money separately, and the money is not intermingled.
I have one final question, Tom, to bring you up to speed on what we've talked about. Both Helen in her comment, though not as strongly, but brought up the need for more behavioral health, more dollars going toward mental health. And all three of the challengers have spoken very well to that. What are your thoughts about trying to find, spend some of the dollars that maybe you've got going to ENT or whatever and getting more over here into mental health?
My thoughts are that it'd be really nice if Sandpoint Women's Health and ENT could do better financially. Then we'd have more money that we could funnel off to spend on behavioral health. It does not appear that we're going to be able to get more tax dollars. That's a fair ordeal to get able to do that by increasing the taxes. It is true that the tax dollars are getting better in Bonner County because there's more people moving here and their tax revenues are going up. And that will help some, but I don't think we're at the point where we need to take dollars away from other clinics to pay another clinic. It doesn't come out in the end. But it's my hope that we will have the other clinics do better, especially ENT, as she gets more established and can see more patients, do more surgery. Then I think that some of the money that we spend on the other clinics could be funneled off to behavioral health. It is my feeling that we need more behavioral health in Bonner County. The nation overall is going down in behavioral health because it's expensive and it's hard to find people who want to do that anymore. But it especially hits the smaller towns harder. It's difficult. We have currently the only psychiatrist in Bonner County, and you know he's getting to the age where retirement will be coming. So we do have to spend more time trying to figure out how to get behavioral health stronger in this county.
All right, I want to give the challengers, yes, an opportunity. Are you okay? Before I get to that question, we do have one of our challengers. Julie Barrett has an appointment that she has to get to, so I'm going to let her say goodbye to you, and she's going to leave the studio. So, Julie, say goodbye to the audience.
Thank you very much for having me today, Barbara. And I just want to add one thing. While I don't have any healthcare experience and I've had a lot of folks comment on that as a possibility of or a reason that they don't want to vote for me. I would say that I do have 30 years of marketing, branding, and strategic vision experience. I know how to identify and define a vision, mission, and values. I know how to create the tactics and the roadmap to get there for success. And I also know how to make sure those things are adapting well to outside environment as well as the needs of the people of Bonner County. So I hope you vote for me, and I appreciate you having me here today. And thank you to my challengers as well.
All right. Thank you, Julie Barrett. All right. Now, for Jesse and Doty, Tom Lawrence was talking about, I asked him about this overlap. He's one of the people that sits on these both boards and how it, that he considers that to be an advantage. I'd like you to comment on that, and well, I'll ask the second part of the question after that. What do you think about that, having the knowledge from both boards? Is that really advantageous or just too much?
Sure. This is Jesse. I guess I would say it's hard to say as an outsider. I don't really know the inner workings. My role would be to come and support and to come and be part of the team, part of it being a team player as it pertains to the health needs of our county. So I don't say that I would say I don't have a well-informed answer to that.
All right, fair enough. Doty, what are your thoughts on that?
There's always an advantage. The longer you're with something, you become very aware of different things. But you can also be closed-minded when you're all focusing on the same avenue. It's not to say, the hospital is needed, the clinics are needed, and having a new person come in that has a same healthcare focus, but brings in new thought, new direction. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in what we know, we expect the same from the other people that share the two boards, that we lose sight of the outside needs sometimes. So I think, that is always a potential. So having some fresh ideas, new people can bring a lot to a very growing community.
Okay, another question for the challengers, based on what Tom Lawrence commented on, which was, at least for me, new information that the Ponderay Hospital Taxing District actually owns these clinics, and that's why all the money, 100% of the money, goes to them. Doty, I'll go back to you. What is your reaction to that? Did you know that they own the clinics? And do you have a response to that?
Yeah, I learned that through reading the agreement. And, again, that goes back to both several members being on both boards. And so those decisions, the majority, they stayed together on that. Whether it was right or wrong, I don't know. But it was part of the two groups being very like-minded, and I think it presents itself to be easy to vote that way if that's what both sides want. There was not enough diversity, potentially. But I did know that by reading the agreement, and that was done a couple of years ago.
All right. And Jesse Peters, the same question to you. How do you react to the ownership issue of the clinics? And that is why 100% of the taxing district money is going to those clinics exclusively.
I do think that there should be fair process for any community clinic that can demonstrate need and demonstrate an ability to help meet the health care needs of the taxing district. You mentioned RFP earlier. I do think that there, regardless of where the decision or response to RFP might fall, I do think that it would be a fair choice to allow, new opportunity to come into being able to access those dollars.
All right. Very good. One of the topics, Tom, that came up had to do with health assessment needs. To make sure that our assessment of what our needs are is fresh, and therefore our dollars are actually going to those new needs and not How would you comment on that? And maybe those, when was the last health needs assessment?
It was done just a few months ago. We do it yearly through the hospital, and then the needs are decided by a group of people, and those needs are then brought to the Pendre Hospital District. It's in our minutes, and it's also in our statutes that we have to discuss those needs. And they don't always refer to us as much, such as the obesity, the heart disease, et cetera, because we don't have a clinic going down that avenue. The rest of the hospital does, and the rest of the trustees have to deal with that. But we only have to deal with the problems that tend to be focused towards those three clinics. But it is an assessment that occurs annually.
And who does that assessment?
The hospital does the assessment through the they're actually in a group with a number of community organizations that take part in that assessment.
And is that, are people, okay. And you said there are some people who then look at that. Who are the people then that receive that data?
Well, the hospital administrators and the different people that are on the administrator look at each of the problems, decide which ones are the most important. They also look at the data that comes from the outside organizations, so that we can get a good idea of what most people think are the important problems in Sandpoint. There's a lot of divergent groups that have their special items that they want to see corrected. So you have to kind of get it all together and get just the ones that are the most important. Okay. We spend a lot of time on this.
We being Bonner General Board of Directors, not the taxing district, because the taxing district has already made the decision on who they're funding.
Well, the taxing district, if any of those problems come into concerning those three clinics, like mental health suicide is definitely brought to our attention every year.
For the behavioral health clinic.
Yes.
Yes.
And we have to do changes and talk to them about what we can do to solve that problem.
All right. Well, we are up against, I think, getting toward the end of the program here. So, first of all, I want to thank all of our listeners for hanging in there with us with our technical issues going on and being here all the time with us to listen to these important programs. I want to thank the candidates for being here. And now I'm going to give each candidate an opportunity to say goodbye and whatever you want to close out with to the audience. And Dodi, if I may, I'm going to begin with you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me. I would hope you, when you go out to vote, you would consider my candidacy. I believe my diverse background in nursing and volunteer experience in rural communities provides me a great opportunity to understand the quality health care needs for Bonner Hospital District. I love this community. It's not about changing things. It's about utilizing our dollars to most benefit the healthcare needs of our community. I've always had a passion for healthcare and, protecting our, and my goal is to protect our healthcare dollars. So I hope you can come out and vote for me on May 18th. Thank you.
All right. Dolores Dodi Glass, thank you for that. I'm going to go ahead and read from Helen Parsons for you to read what she has here. She didn't exactly write it as a closing statement, but I think it fits. She says she, Helen Parsons, is running for the seat. She is an incumbent running for re-election to the seat on this board because she has a passion for good quality health care to remain and grow in our local communities. And she has already expressed here she believes the board, that's the taxing district board's current operation of supporting behavioral health, Sandpoint Women's Health, and ear, nose, and throat is the way to go, or to stay the course. So that is Helen Parsons, incumbent. And I'll go to Tom Lawrence for a closing statement to the audience.
Yeah, I apologize for being late. Just want to point out that Helen Parsons is not on the other board. She's one of the people that isn't. So
right.
It's good that people know that she isn't on the other board. She's on just this board. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about the Pondre Hospital District and how it's separate from Bonner General Health. That needs to be clarified. It still has to be financially viable, though. Those three clinics have to stay financially viable. Otherwise, we have to make changes. So I think that the current board has got the expertise to keep that going, having come through COVID, actually, I could say with flying colors. The clinics really did well and are coming back on their financial status. Mm-hmm. So I would hope that everyone takes account in that when they vote on the 18th, that experience sometimes is a good teacher.
All right, thank you. That was Tom Lawrence, incumbent for the board running for re-election. And our final candidate, challenger Jesse Peters.
Thank you, Barbara. I did want to bring a point of clarity also. There is an email circulating from the Democratic Party that there are challengers wanting to get on the board who have a desire to cut services to our county or slash clinics or slash funding, and I just want to take the opportunity to set the record straight that that is not my position, that I am running because I care about the health and well-being of our county, and I want to see the dollars flow to where the needs are greatest. I would also just say in closing that I see every vote as each individual person has their own healthcare journey that they're facing, their own healthcare situations that they're facing, and I would just submit to any listener that your heart would be my heart to advocate for you on this board, and that I really do genuinely care for you and for your health in our wonderful rural community. So thank
you.
All
right. Jesse Peters, thank you very much for that. That's the program for today. I want to thank our candidates and wish each and every one of you, all of you, the very best. And everybody, I'll be back next week. I'm not sure who my guests are going to be, but it's going to be a good program. I've got several people lined up. And so until then, this is Barbara saying thank you. Stay well and be blessed.